whenever you're ready.
Oh my God.
Jessica! I've never been called a fox!
Dana.
That's a classy name for a Harry.
I like it classic.
Okay.
Do you?
Welcome to the Rants and Raves podcast.
Sure.
Out with the bad and in with the good, motherfuckers.
That's right.
Jessica.
Dana.
Hi, how are you?
I'm great. How are you?
Good. Thank you. Welcome to the Rants and Raves podcast. I am Dana Powell.
I'm Jessica Young. And we are here to rant and rave.
Along with the rooster and the planes and the dogs. I was going to tell you, I didn't even think about it. So sometimes we record on Mondays, sometimes we record on Tuesdays. Today is a holiday because we're still behind y'all.
That's true.
So it's Martin Luther King Day. And I woke up early this morning and there was a Red Baron. And I was like, oh, gosh, it's going to be terrible today because it's a holiday and all the rich men are off flying their planes, zooming around loop-de-loos my house.
Right. I love that I'm that ignorant right now that I thought it's a holiday. I didn't think anyone would be flying. Well, nope, holidays don't stop airplanes. Yeah. So.
And then the rich guys go, well, I have today off. I'm going to go fly my plane. Fly me. There's Dana Powell's house. I'll zoom on by. I bet she's recording. Let's swing by again and see if we can see. I'm rich. That's how I feel every time I see a private plane go by.
And you live by a private airport.
Yes.
Like commercial jets do not land at the airport that you live near.
No.
It's private.
Yes.
Either private flyers,
a lot
pilots,
of helicopters.
And the companies that charter
private
jets. Yes.
And then last night, so I've been waking up in the middle of the night and I'll go outside and play my stupid fishing game for a minute and then go back to bed. And so I know that the rooster is like going all night, right? So like last night he was like, remember how we talked about his voice is so well, and then I heard there was a fight in the hen house. But then I woke up with Dan Tipton, I guess, him getting ready for work. The rooster at actual sunrise has a very clear and pretty cockadoodle-do.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, I've heard him loud and clear here.
Yeah, but sometimes it sounds like he's just mad at somebody. he's like, this coop is a mess.
Like, what time is the first cockadoodle?
Like, I want to say five something.
Yeah,
whenever sunrise is.
I am still fascinated by the fact that they know, like, the minute the light starts coming up, that sets them off. I think it's neat.
I guess.
Did you hear them a lot growing up? I'm serious. You grew up around a lot of farms. I mean, did you hear? No? I didn't ever hear them unless I went to the country.
Well, now you get to hear them whenever you want. Just come on over to my house. Hop in your plane. Meow.
How was your week?
Bring a dog. My week was good. I told you about this. I posted some pictures on my private Instagram. I went to the Getty Museum for the first time.
I'm so happy that you went.
I'm so ashamed that I've never been in almost 20 years. But you just get so busy. I'll definitely be going back and by myself to like take my time. There's amazing things there.
It's to me, my favorite place to go in LA and my favorite place to take out-of-towners, which I think is exactly what you did, right?
Yes. Yeah. I went with some friends from out of town. I would say, too, Uber there because parking is $20.
Well, what? Did the Uber drop you off?
They took an Uber. I did not. The Uber dropped them off where you catch...
The monorail?
Excuse me. God. Oh, my God. We were just talking about this. I'm so sorry.
I'm passing off my frog to you.
They took an Uber and it dropped you off right where you get on the monorail, right where the line is. I, however, drove myself and you pay $20 for parking. And then it took me 20 minutes to get to the bottom of the garage because so many people were going in and then waiting for people to back out. It took me forever to get in there.
Except I want to say $20 to park, which I know is steep, but they don't charge admission. So you're paying for the parking, but you don't have to pay to go into the museum.
Right.
But isn't an Uber there and back more than $20?
Probably not.
Really?
I don't live that far from there.
I mean,
it's like 5 miles.
Yeah.
I don't know. Right. They Ubered from Santa Monica. I should have asked them how much it cost.
Yeah.
Anyway, it was incredible. There's a lot of, what do they call it? Resident pieces. that just stay there. They don't travel.
Permanent collection.
Collection. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like there's a couple of Van Goghs. Yes. It just was
very
amazing.
Big on the French decorative arts. Did you see like the bed with the canopy and the ostrich feathers? Oh, God.
I didn't get to see so much. I didn't even get to the garden.
What about the illuminated manuscripts?
No.
So that is one thing also the Getty's known for. They always have a collection of illuminated manuscripts. And when my dad was here, I guess it was in December, we went and it's always rotating, but a new exhibit of illuminated manuscripts dealing with Balthazar. He was one of the three kings.
Yes.
So it was all versions of manuscripts showing him
from
different cultures and countries around the world. Absolutely gorgeous.
Everything there was incredible.
I know. It's all made of travertine.
It's beautiful. And there's something peaceful about it.
Yeah.
And then we went ahead and did a tour, which is free.
Yep.
We did the collection's highlights tour.
Oh, nice.
We had the cutest little older woman with blue glasses. She was darling. She was like Juliette Binoche's grandma.
Oh my God. I think she
may have been French. She had a slight accent. She was the cutest and she loved what she was doing. You could tell.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt like I was in school again for the first time, but like in the best way that I never experienced.
Totally.
In that I was like, I'll ask stupid questions. I'll say stupid things. Like she asked us questions about each of the pieces we saw. How does this make you feel? Is there movement? What do you notice about the lighting? You know, so that was really cool. It was fun.
I love that. I will say that's something that I kind of aspire to do when I get older.
I was thinking to myself.
To be a docent.
To be a docent.
Yeah.
And get to meet people and talk about something you love, keep you busy.
Totally.
Yeah, I thought the same thing.
And I did it for I guess it's a museum, if you will, of sorts. I used to be a docent at a place in Beverly Hills, and it was like a property that was left to the city that was built by the Robinson's May family. That doesn't even exist anymore. It was a big department store.
Yeah, don't they own Macy's?
They might. Yeah. I think it probably all merged at one point. But Mrs. Robinson herself, Virginia Robinson, used to host the gala for the opening night of the Hollywood Bowl.
Oh, cool.
Way back when, like in the 30s.
Uh-huh.
And you should have seen me being the grandma in training that I am. I would be like, and this is the tennis court where Charlie Chaplin played with Greta Garbo. And the third graders would just stare at me and be like, you know who they are, right? And they didn't.
No, of course
I'd be
not.
Very disappointed.
Did you try and raise your voice like that?
Yeah.
Did you try and bring your voice up a couple of times?
I did.
How was your week?
It was good. I'm trying to think if there was anything earth-shattering or exciting that happened. I mean, not really, I guess.
Well, no news is good news, right? I just happened to go out with a friend, which is pretty rare.
No,
oh, and then
nice.
We had some delicious Argentinian food, and I had a sangria made from white sparkling wine.
Yum.
Oh, it was so good.
I like any sangria.
Sometimes sangria can be a little much for me if it's red wine,
because
I'm not a huge red wine fan, but that white sparkling, I could have drank it out of a bucket.
Then you would love like white sangria made with peaches.
Yeah, I've had that. It's delicious. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Do you know Lala's, the Argentine?
One of my faves.
Okay.
No.
You've never had their sangria?
Yes, I have.
Okay, because it's real good.
Mm-hmm. But I didn't know about, this is apparently all over the United States. Mm-hmm. So for our U.S. listeners, twice a year, there's like, here they call it Dine in L.A.
Uh-huh.
Or Restaurant Week.
Yes.
I didn't know about that.
Yeah.
So Malbec is where we went, this Argentinian place. It was delicious. And they had this. So what they do is they have the prefixed menu. So we got an appetizer, an entree, and a dessert. We had two choices in each category. And it's a set price that would be cheaper than if you bought each individual thing. So it was pretty amazing.
Yeah.
I felt very shishy like you. I was like,
I'm Jessica. I'm eating fancy. I'm having a fixed menu. I can't pronounce what I'm eating, but it's delicious.
I am dying right now because I actually looked at a lot of places' menus for Dine LA last week.
You
I
did?
I really wanted to go and I didn't make it to any place, which is sad. But I'm really happy that you did.
Thank
especially
you.
That you went so far away geographically in your cultural mind.
Taste of buds. I do love Argentinian food. It's good.
I just remembered something that happened this week, Dana.
What?
It's involving food and me and a rant that I did. I think it might be time for a corrections corner.
Oh, really? You want to go ahead and hit it hard?
I don't know. Should I or
yeah,
shouldn't
I? Yeah, sure. You brought it up. You might as well. Now, we haven't even told people how to contact us in case you say something wrong again.
I'll just make this short and sweet.
Well, or you don't have to.
You guys, I not only shamed Dana last week, I did the very thing that I ranted about, which is people being adamant and certain that they know everything about something that they know nothing about. And I got really annoyed that Dana said, oh, like Springfield cashew chicken. I'm like, no, Dana, not the chicken at a Panda Express in your hometown.
You said,
oh, do you have a large community of Asians in Springfield, Missouri?
I did.
I'm like, well, yeah, it is growing. But yeah, the Asians that settled in Springfield created this specific cashew chicken.
Yep. So you guys, I went down the rabbit hole and I looked up Springfield cashew chicken, trying to make a meme, thinking it was going to be like a picture of Homer and Marge at a Chinese restaurant. No.
You jerk.
I didn't have to look far at all. And there was no jokes. It was all like publications of all types listing article after article after article about Springfield cashew chicken, Springfield style cashew chicken,
yeah,
being invented in the 60s. I am mortified. I text Dana. I said, I will never let myself live this down. I'm so embarrassed. I'm horrified. I don't know what to say.
It's so good, y'all.
I can't deal with it. And even more fascinating, I learned it's not just your everyday cashew chicken. It's a very specific type and not every restaurant makes it.
No.
And that people that know about it on their menu will list it as Springfield cashew chicken.
Yes.
For that very reason.
It's true. Each piece of chicken is breaded and fried.
And in like a specific gravy sauce with the cashew.
With the cashews. Mm-hmm. It is so good.
Yeah, I want some.
It's real good.
Springfield, I'm sorry.
See, sometimes I do know what I'm talking about.
She does indeed. But maybe someone will agree with me, but that they're not too shocked that I thought that she was making it up. No, on a serious note, I can't believe, because we have a lot of listeners in Missouri, that not one person didn't immediately fire away at me, which you have every right to. I'm shocked.
None of you. Yep. We're like, Dana's not crazy. That's a real thing.
Yep. I should have seen pictures of you guys eating it. I mean, I still
Well, it's never
to
too late for that.
Yeah. Anybody in Springfield right now or in the Missouri area, I would like to see you tag us or send us a picture of you eating the Springfield cashew.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah,
Or a picture of a menu, anything.
Yeah. Send away. Send away. Oh, man, while we're on that note, right before we tell you how to contact us, hey, guys, just a little shout out. We're getting low on rants and raves.
Yep.
It's the new year, y'all. Yep. Get them in here to us. We want to share. We want to share what aggravates you and help you get it out.
Mm-hmm.
We want to share all the good things going on in your hometowns, in your home states, things that you know about through friends.
Mm-hmm.
Get it over to us. Jessica, you want to tell people how they can get us?
Sure. Please follow us on Facebook and Instagram at the Rants and Raves Podcast, on Twitter at raves_the. You can email us at therantsandravespodcast@gmail.com or through the contact button on our website, www.therantsandraves.com. As always, thank you for your continued support and for listening. Thank you to all who have rated or reviewed us in any way. We don't know who that is, and that's a good thing because everyone's name is different on those kind of platforms. We don't need to know, but that's just to throw that out there. We welcome anything that you guys are willing to post and send us. So thank you for that. And if you can continue to rate or review if you haven't already, if you would be so inclined, it just helps keep us in the mix and helps people find us. It's certainly not an ego thing.
No.
As I know, that probably sounds like it is.
I know. I always fear that people think that. It's not. It's just about being able to be seen by other people. Also, if you do write a review for us and you want to send us a screenshot, we will make a thank you video for you.
That's right.
We will.
We will indeed.
So, just so you know. Well, I'm going to go ahead and move us into our rants for today.
Yes.
So my rant is basically like interrupting rage. So this person says, talking over me. I get that it's a cultural thing for some people. In some families, you never get heard at all unless you talk over your family members. But doing it in regular conversation is just enraging. Also, condescension. Call me son or honey one more time, asshole. So I know how this feels. And I oftentimes, I feel like I can be an interrupter too. That's why I say to you occasionally, hey, Jessica, how are you feeling? Is there a good give and take? Because I don't want to be that person, but I get excited and I talk. And I think it happens in my family. And I only realized this in the last few months. I think it's been this way my whole life, but like I'll say something or be telling a story or I'll go, oh my God, you guys, this is so cool. I blah, blah, blah. And then nobody says something. And then inevitably my dad will go, does anybody know where the keys are to the garage? Does anybody like, or hey, Diana, have you seen that letter I put on the table? It was right here. Well, you probably moved it. I didn't move it. It was right. And I'm like, I just told you I booked a job or I just told you like. And then so lately I've gotten to the point where I'm like, I'm not even going to pick it back up because I used to be like, anyway, so blah, 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 and continue on.
Right.
But it doesn't get a different reaction, you know. So totally. Now I just stop telling my story.
Oh,
I do. I get all that. And I used to yell at Dan Tipton when we were young. Mm-hmm. His family, they all talk at the same time. Okay. Yeah. I don't know how they comprehend anything each other says.
I've got to say on both sides of my family, there's definitely large clusters of us that talk over each other. And I guess I wasn't as painfully aware of it as I was until this past summer when it was an overload of the same type of peeps. I love you all on my dad's side. And Alan was getting anxiety. And I'm like, what? And he goes, your family. Does anyone let anyone talk? Does everyone yell and talk over each other? He's like, and he never says this. He goes, it actually gave me anxiety.
I think it does produce anxiety because what I've noticed when Dan Tipton, when we were young and we had first gotten together, eventually, you know, the shiny new toy gets a little dull.
Yes.
And you're
yes.
like, I see your flaws. Not that I don't have 10 million flaws, but like I would say, you keep interrupting me and he'd go, oh my gosh, I'm so sorry. Because he's very polite. Mm-hmm, he doesn't realize, you know. So the only way I was able to combat it and he realized it and it stuck and he doesn't do that anymore, thank God, is so you start saying something, like start talking or read. Do you want to read something?
Well, I noticed that you have a movie here that I
and
want
then he
you
would
to try to
interrupt me and start talking over me. Okay.
Yep.
So instead, I'm going to start talking this time and I'll show you what I did to prove to him how often he did this and don't do it anymore.
Okay.
So you were telling me that I needed to watch The Wife.
Well, yes, you should watch The Wife.
The DVD was on my table and it was sitting there. And so that's why you said to watch it. That's what I had to do to make him realize.
Well, at least he has the gumption to listen and take his voice down.
Well, how could my you family not listen to that crazy jerk?
Because nobody gives in, especially like, for instance, Dad, I love you. Between my dad and his brother, it is like one shrieking louder than nobody backs
nobody
down.
Stops.
They are like two rams on the mountainside. And I am not going to stop butting you with my horns until you lower your voice and let me finish.
It's so crazy.
It's cuckoo. And I find myself doing it now sometimes when I'm on the phone with either of them, with my dad or my uncle.
It's just common courtesy, I think. Maybe not every culture. Maybe this is just our culture. I don't know. But when someone else starts speaking, it's yeah. I like to think, oh, something I have said has inspired them in some way.
Right.
And if I keep talking, they're going to lose that thought. So I will stop talking and let them listen. If there's something I needed to get out, I can pick it back up.
Right.
Right? But I don't think everybody thinks that way.
I know. I also think it's just, oh God, it's such a cornucopia of things going on with this subject. Sometimes also, let's be frank, somebody clearly might think that what they're talking about is more interesting than what you have to say.
Yes, but then that person is a jerk and you don't want
to
be
around
them anymore.
Yeah, well, that's like next level.
Right. And then if you add on the condescension and somebody says, honey, especially if they're younger than me, what was the other one the person
unless
said?
You're a woman in your late 60s serving coffee at a Waffle House, yeah. I don't need you to call me honey.
Then it's endearing.
Yeah.
But there is a person in this industry who is on television.
I thought you were about to say in this room.
In this
and
room,
I was like, I guess she's
who's
swinging
looking
me.
At me right now wearing a blue and white blouse. She looks lovely. No, there's a person in this industry. That one time, this person and I were not trying to be
nice,
getting along.
Mm-hmm.
And this person was younger than me
mm-hmm.
and said, honey, you just need to and I go, stop it. I go, stop it right there. I am not your honey. I am not your girlfriend. I'm not your baby. Don't call me any of those words. We are not friends. Now let's try and settle this like adults. God. That's what I said to this person.
We are not friends.
Let's try to settle this like adults.
That's a doozer.
I was livid.
I like it.
Yeah. Don't call some. Wow. It is legitimately a passive aggressive way of patting someone on the head and telling them, I am more in control than you are. Honey, calm down. Treating you like a child. Trying to gaslight you and either make you blow up more. Or shut up. Mm-hmm. Blow up or shut up. That's their only goal. Mm-hmm. Well, I'll tell you what. I'm going to blow up. I ain't going to shut up. Oh, and then I'm going to come at you. Can't. Cannot. And I said that to her in front to a person in front of 10 other people.
Stop it. How do people react?
Not a word. Silence. Just absolute silence.
Wide-eyed.
Uh-huh. Because it's not very often I get really mad. It takes a lot. I'm a pressure cooker. Mm-hmm. It takes a lot to make me mad, but boy, then my lid goes. Yep.
When it happens, it's like, now we're at 100.
Now we're at 100. I was nice. I was nice. No more. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. I can't.
I feel like that's kind of how I am.
It's not healthy. It's not good.
No, but I feel like I'm very similar in that it's like, most of the time, everything's cool, it's pleasant, and then somebody does, and well, I guess I'm not like you. I don't feel like it takes very much to set me off these days. Like, everything's fine, I could have even been smiling or laughing. Somebody did something, now I'm at 100, I'm gonna rip your face off.
Yes, I know, that's how I am too.
There's no in between, there's no easing into it.
For me, it takes a lot of pushing, because I'll go, well, maybe you're having a bad day. I don't feel like engaging in this right now. Like, I will let it go, and then, and it sucks for you too, because then I have kept a list. It's not like I just let everything go. It's not like I was like, all of a sudden I'm mad. No, it's been building. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I've got the Steve Buscemi shit list from what is it, Happy Gilmore?
Oh my
where
God.
He puts on the lipstick and he has a shit list and he crosses off Adam Sandler. That I don't cross people off until I'm done.
Oh my God.
Interrupting and condescension. That's a tough one.
I know.
That's a tough one. Sometimes I don't mind being interrupted, but it is kind of rude.
Totally. And you're right. Sometimes you're just like, it's just easier just to let them do whatever.
Yeah. And honestly, if someone goes, oh my God, I'm sorry I interrupted you. Mm-hmm. Let me finish this thought. I'm cool with that too. Yeah. Like if you recognize it and it was an accident, but you're like, if I don't get these words out, I'll never remember them.
Right.
I can identify. So that doesn't bother me then.
I'm sure that my husband is laughing as he listens to this because he accuses me of interrupting him on a daily basis.
I thought you were going to say because he thinks you interrupt me constantly.
No! He gets like, again, he does not get mad easily. And I'm like, what? He goes, well, I was in the middle of saying, so never mind. And he'll kind of trail off. And I'm like, what? I'm sorry, honey.
You add the
I'm
honey.
Not being sarcastic.
And then he's like, I am not your honey. I am not your friend.
I think I do it because I will forget. I mean, I have the long-term memory of an elephant and the short-term memory of Dory from Finding Nemo. So it's like,
oh, you're an elephant, Dory.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, don't interrupt people.
Yeah.
If you can possibly help it. And if you're going to, I'm sorry. I'm sorry I'm interrupting. I know, but I just need to get this. Then that's better, right?
Totally.
Unless you're doing it all the time and then I'll punch you in your face.
Exactly.
Or at least wish I could. What's your rant for today?
Mine is just reminding me this weekend when I observed this exact thing, how much I can't stand people who either A, act entitled or like damsels in distress. Mm-hmm. That goes for men too. I just mean that as a figure of speech. What did we call it? Unnecessary helplessness.
Yes.
Okay. Can we all agree? Like there are many times where people need help and I don't care if you're a stranger or their family or best friend. Lend a hand, do something, hold a door for someone. The littlest thing.
Help someone get their luggage up in the thing.
I see an old person doing or just someone who's struggling, I can easily pull down their bag and hand it to them and it's no sweat, right? So Saturday morning, I was at the grocery store and there wasn't a lot of people in there. It was kind of early. It was lovely. The aisles were open. There was no wait at any of the checkout lines, nothing.
So rare.
It was a delight, right? Yeah. I'm like, I wish I could get myself up this early every day to start. So there was a woman in there with you know, just everything about her visually, the big fake fur coat and the sweatsuit that that's her going out clothes.
Wait, fake fur coat with a sweatsuit?
You know, it was like a tracksuit. I don't know. Okay. I'm so tired of people in their athleisure wear. Okay. Like, you didn't just work out. There's plenty of people that you can tell without question clearly just came from the gym or ran, and now they're running in to get some chia seeds to make some overnight pudding. I don't know. You get a pass.
Yeah.
But people that have a full face of makeup and like a coiffed ponytail and you're in Lululemon leggings
and a like a bra.
I can't with you. I can't stop it.
Yeah.
Put on regular clothing. I hate you, in fact. I know, I just really alienated myself from a lot of people. It drives me nuts. And I also see people on a regular basis that wear it every day, and it drives me insane. This lady is in her athleisure suit. It wasn't even as cool as like Ivy Park, the new line for Adidas, which I'm sure we'll be seeing left and right everywhere now.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Beyonce's new line for Adidas.
Oh, I do know, yes.
Anyways, she's in that, this like obnoxious big like faux fur coat. Two kids, both extremely well behaved, so much so that it was shocking.
Mm-hmm.
They weren't doing anything wrong. I wanted to buy them a toy or a surprise because that's how well behaved they were, right?
Yeah, they're like, just be quiet so mom doesn't whine.
Yeah, they're not screaming. There's no problems going on. There's no issues. She also had her dog, which P.S. is illegal. It wasn't a service dog. I love French bulldogs. God, I do.
Oh, so cute.
But I didn't need you to bring your dog into the grocery store, lady. It's not a service dog. It was on way too long of a leash. Cesar Milan would have been horrified to see how much leeway this dog had.
Yes.
And she was just clearly over it. And she had a bunch of flowers, like one single bunch of lilies. I even remember the flowers she was getting. And then she had put like two items on top of her stroller. And she asked the cashier, yeah, do you guys still have those chocolate chip cookies that come in a bag? And the woman goes, yes, we do. She goes, well, and she goes, what kind are you looking for? She goes, we have a lot. They're in the bakery section. They're all in the same area. And she goes, oh, could you just grab one for me?
Okay. She asked the cashier.
Yes.
Working at a register with money in it.
Yes.
If she would leave her workstation.
Yes.
To go get her a bag of unnecessary chocolate chip cookies.
Yes.
Unacceptable.
It made me furious, but much to my delight, the cashier said, I'm sorry, I can't.
Yeah,
next.
No.
And then waved a person on, and I was like, yes.
Yes.
It wasn't to be mean. Please don't anyone think I'm a mean person. I'm not.
But that is unnecessary helplessness.
If she was like, oh God, I forgot that. You know when someone has forgotten something. I'm not
and
saying she had to be near tears.
They're in a hurry. Or
the baby was crying. She didn't have a baby. She had a kid that was too big to be in his stroller to begin with. Yeah, I said it.
But also, it wasn't like, I need eggs or milk for my children.
No.
It was that you were going to get those chocolate chip cookies, and then you were going to do like my mom did and go, these are mommy's treats, and keep them in your room.
Like the couple I babysat for, and she showed me her secret stash, which was like these two weird hidden door, not hidden, but just like weird doors above her refrigerator that no one would ever think had any storage. And it did require getting a ladder out. But man, it was like
hilarious.
Willy Wonka's factory up there.
Oh my God. My mom didn't even hide it. She was like, don't touch. And we didn't. We knew better.
Lady, leave your dog at home. Yeah. Also, there's nothing wrong with you. You're more than capable. So turn around and walk the 20 feet to the bakery that you were just pointed at and take a look at the 20 different bags of chocolate chip cookies they have.
Right.
Make your selection, turn around and leave.
This is like, not some like department store where she can get her own shopper.
No.
You know?
Also, I wasn't allowed to get a case of water.
Oh, I
recently.
Knew this was coming back. I knew it was haunting you.
So you can go and get your cookies, lady.
That's
you haven't
why
even
you didn't
checked
want
out
her to get her cookies. You were like, if I can't get water, you can't have chocolate chip cookies.
I swear it's not. But when I left, I thought about it. I'm like, just like I couldn't get my water, you had to get your own cookies.
So now, Jessica, whose side were you on?
I was on the cashier's side.
Now, what about when you forgot your water?
I do not forgive for that because the waters were right next to me,
Jessica!
And no one had started their transaction yet.
Jessica!
Would have taken 30 seconds to punch in case of water. Boom. Here's my card. $8 later, I'm out the door.
Jessica! A little bit. Can you pronounce this word? Double standards.
Would you ever? No, it's fine. But I'm serious. If you were with your son in the store,
I would never.
And there was no one in there. Would you be like, would you just and like, you know, playing dumb? Like, also, you wouldn't have your dog at a grocery store.
No, I'm sorry, Lucy.
And
sorry.
I love animals. Sorry.
I know. It's just not the place for
not
them.
A service dog. Especially you're a not food going in
store.
It's illegal.
Yeah,
it's I'm gonna be crazy. The illegal non-service animal police.
And lady, you don't need medication. You
no,
don't need like
no,
you're
no,
asking
no.
for cookies.
Yes.
Come on now. Uh-uh.
Mm-hmm. She just didn't want to have to walk over there.
I know. She didn't have the energy to even get dressed.
She had a dog.
Here we go. If you have the energy to
yes.
put that stupid coat on.
Thank you.
You have the energy to walk how many feet back? To get your cookies.
20.
And if you don't have the energy to walk that 20 feet back for your mm-hmm. cookies, maybe it's because you're eating too many cookies.
Mm-hmm.
And the sugar is making you sleepy.
Also, one of the kids looked old enough to go grab the cookies if that's what she needed to happen.
Jessica, you can't make that decision.
I know. I'm saying that, but I was that kid that at 6 years old, everybody thought was 13.
I was that kid that at six, I looked six and they were like, hey, go back and get us some eggs. It was a different time. I was actually having that discussion with some friends that have kids a little bit older, and they were like, mm-hmm. I mean, we live in LA. What's the appropriate age that they can stay by themselves? You know, it's not like when we were young.
No, I know. We were talking about that recently. First of all, I started coming in from school alone with my brother. I think I was eight. I think I was in fourth grade, eight or nine.
Yeah.
I was a latchkey kid.
Yeah, me too.
But so was half the kids I grew up with. You came home, you unlocked the door. Those were also the days where your parents weren't as worried, and there was at least usually a mom or a dad home. So the neighborhood kids would all go get on our bikes, or we'd be in someone's treehouse or whatever.
Yep, just a different time.
And we just knew not to mess around. I don't know how I wouldn't trust any kid that age these days.
No.
That's not their fault.
No, of course not. But I think the difference in generations is that our parents instilled the fear of God in us.
Yes, yes, yes.
I was terrified of my parents. All they had to say was, don't go in my closet. I wouldn't, because mm-hmm. I knew that my dad had put a hair on the top of the door. And if it moved, we wouldn't even go in the room, because if we created air circulation, that hair was going to fall. And he'd be like, I know you were in that closet. I mean, we didn't go anywhere near anything we weren't supposed to.
Like, what was in the closet?
I don't know.
You still don't know.
No. I was told not to go in there.
No, it's true. Like, if your parents told, I mean, yes, there's still some people who didn't abide by that. But by and large, because I was told not to with the very stern eyes upon me.
Man.
Yeah, I didn't want to know what was going to happen if I tried not do that.
I mean, I'm not joking. My mom had the Nancy Pelosi shut down.
Oh, my God.
To a T. I mean, all she did was look, maybe motion a finger.
Yep.
You sat frozen.
Mm-hmm.
There was no way I was going to push that.
Oh, my God.
Okay, well, don't interrupt.
And don't act entitled.
And go get your own stupid cookies.
Okay.
Ugh, you can drive through Baskin Robbins now. So come on. All right. I'm going to move us into our corners.
Not without a cleansing breath.
Oh my God. You're right.
Yeah.
I need that too. Can you tell that I'm a little like today?
No, but I certainly need a cleansing breath.
Okay, guys. So the cleansing breath, in case this is your first time listening, we like to get all of our rants out, what aggravates us,
mm-hmm.
the things that make us feel stressed out. We take a deep breath in and we blow it all out,
yes.
out with the bad. And then we're going to fill up with some goodness.
Yes. Indeed.
So if you're alone, feel free to scream it out. If you're not alone, at least take a second to just breathe. Okay. Mm-hmm. In. And.
There we go.
There we go. Someday we should have a listener party on the beach.
Oh.
And just breathe fresh ocean air all day.
Mm-hmm.
Wouldn't that be nice? How cool would that be if we were like, hey, y'all, come on out to LA on blah, blah, second. We're going to have a breathing party. Okay, so this corner, this is a fun one. You know why, Jessica?
Why?
Because it is definitely a weirdo of the week.
Okay. You're weird. You're so very weird. Why must you bring your weirdness here?
Excellent. Woman claims she predicted Harry and Meghan Markle splitting from the royal family by reading asparagus spears. Look, here she is holding up her asparagus for you.
Okay. Okay.
The royal family news that shocked the world on Wednesday apparently did not come as a surprise to one woman in England.
I can't.
Self-proclaimed. That's weird. She didn't go to school for this. Self-proclaimed fortune teller Jemima Packington is claiming that she predicted Harry and Meghan Markle would step back from the royal family after reading some asparagus spears. Packington, 64, reportedly the world's only asparamancer.
Stop it.
Asparamancer.
It's a profession.
Says she's the only one in the world. That's weird. Says she's able to see the future by throwing asparagus into the air and then observing how the spears land on the ground.
Nope.
Mm-hmm. Quote, when I cast the asparagus, it creates patterns and it is the patterns I interpret. The vegetable reader said. That was a slight dig. I didn't write that. I'll tell you who that's written by in a minute.
David Moyer?
No. Explaining she inherited the ability from her aunt who read tea leaves, which I've heard of in Harry Potter, and has been and has been predicting the future since she was 8 years old.
Right.
I'm usually about 75 to 90% accurate with my predictions. That's a wide swath.
Yes.
That's a wide swath of numbers. I go through my predictions each year and I think, yep, that's happened. Yep, that's happened. The woman from Bath Somerset added. Packington admits sometimes she doesn't quite read it correctly, but claims she is never far off with her predictions.
Only about 25% off.
Also, how are you not far off with the royals leaving the family? You're like, they might move or leave the family. I don't know.
Also, I need to know if this woman documented any of her predictions so people knew about it, like Nostradamus did. Right. Yes.
Well, among her previous prophecies, Packington said that many have been proven true, alleging she was able to predict Brexit, England winning the Cricket World Cup.
No, she didn't.
And Theresa May being pushed out as prime minister.
Okay.
Look, there's her blanket. She throws her asparagus in the air and they land on her blanket.
My God.
As for her broad 2020 predictions... outside of the royal family, Packington said she foresees a real shakeup of the major political parties. Sports and sporting personalities will be embroiled in scandals. I mean, aren't they always? Yeah. And concerns about global warming will again take center stage, but more countries will take action to minimize the threat to the planet. Packington, however, did not disclose any lottery numbers or Super Bowl projections, so looks like you'll just have to roll the dice on those.
Did she predict that her pee would smell like asparagus?
I don't know that she eats her predictions. I don't know if she eats her tools, Jessica.
I cannot.
This was written by Alexandra Diabler. She's a lifestyle writer and editor. God. But anyway, I just, that headline, I was like, woman claims she predicted, okay, maybe Michael's splitting her. Okay, by reading, what'd they call her? An asparamancer.
That is not okay.
Asparamancer. Like, can I just choose anything I want to tell the future with?
Yes. Let's start doing it with French fries. I mean, sky's the limit.
We're frymancers.
Oh, my God. You know what? Have your son melt that chocolate snowman and read the future as it melts into his milk.
Boy, I'll tell you this. If I'm going to be predicting the future, it's going to be all rainbows and sunshine for all of us.
Okay.
I'm not going to predict anything bad and bring that bad juju this way.
Thank you. Look at her. I think that's going to be the picture we post of her holding them out spread as though they were a deck of tarot cards. Uh-huh. I cannot with her.
Yeah. Yeah. And then here's her.
Amazing.
I didn't show you that one. I don't know what she's praising. Just nature, I guess. She's
unbelievable.
And she's got a satin brocade jacket on with a pink flower. Yeah.
Anyway. Watch her become the face of asparagus. For Europe, like if there's some kind of association.
Are they gonna have a resurgence of like people need to eat asparagus now? They're gonna have like the meat, it's what's for dinner. Only it's gonna be asparagus, make pea smell.
The association of asparamancers. I can't. Oh, I forgot. She's the only one in the world.
In the world. She can't have an AOA.
Uh-huh.
She's the only one. She best start treating some people. She's 64. She gotta be passing that spear on.
Oh my God. I wonder if she ever found a piece of toast with a burn mark that reminded her of Jesus.
Uh-huh. Probably. She probably, unbelievable. Yeah. She's probably had chips in the shape of Mother Mary. Uh-huh. I don't know. What if she's the real deal and we're making fun of her?
I can tell you based on that picture that she's not.
Jessica! Well, that's my corner.
Oh, God. That is a delight. Thank you.
You're welcome.
For the laughter, because that is something that I really need right now. My corner is a little bit different. This is maybe an oh, wow corner.
Yes,
because
it is.
That's what we both said when we saw these pictures.
Stunning.
And I can't wait to, I'm going to definitely post like a grid of these so you can really get the full effect of this project. This is from Demilked, and photographer travels the world to capture every skin tone in Pantone style. Now, if you are not familiar with what Pantone is, it's literally like the worldwide standard for colors and each right. tone. Like we all know, if you've looked at paint chips, even you think that, you know, true red is this. Well, every company makes a different version, and there's like 100 slight variations of fire each engine red
right.
or candy apple red, all the cherry red, whatever. So Pantone is used for design, for textiles, with graphics, anything. So like if we created something right now and we sent it off to a graphic designer, you would give the Pantones so that if it was being embroidered or it was something for online, it's
so that they can create like a color swatch board, or
so they can use the exact thing. Like you can buy even Pantone software if you're a graphic designer. So you could pull like Pantone 77-9 mm-hmm. to use that exact shade of pink or whatever it is for your project. So there's no discrepancy.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, again, worldwide. So like whether it was here or in France or in China, we can all pull the same Pantone color.
Okay.
They actually update their books yearly, which are very pricey, but people in the design world, it's invaluable to
right.
use Pantones. They are also the people that announce the color of the year. Like, you know, one year it was orchid and it was like this pale purple one, you know.
And is that like it seeps into fashion, art, everything for the year?
Yes.
Gotcha.
One, like I'm saying, recent years was like orchid, tangerine, and then like emerald green most mm-hmm. recently. I'm embarrassed to say I don't remember what it is for this year.
I don't know what it is either, but the past years have been real good for a redhead, so I've been grateful.
Indeed. Race, ethnicity, and skin color have been dividing factors among humankind for centuries. But Brazilian photographer Angelica Doss is seeking to break down the barriers with her latest project, Human Eye, if I'm pronouncing that properly. HUMANAE. She's on a mission to capture examples of every skin color in the world to prove that diversity goes beyond the standard confines of white, black, red, and yellow. Human Eye quickly gained momentum shortly after its inception in early 2016, and thanks to an extensive social media campaign, Doss was able to capture over 200 portraits while traveling through 19 different international cities. She followed a ritual of first photographing the subjects against a white background, then selecting an 11-pixel square from each of their noses and matching the color to its corresponding Pantone industrial palette shade.
So cool.
Which then becomes each photo's backdrop. Rather than arranging them in a spectrum like gradient color, she shuffles the photos and presents them as a mosaic, showing the contrasts and similarities between each varied tone. I mean, this is
stunning.
Awesome. And this will probably be the one that we post. It's fascinating to see the variation, just like we were talking about with color, mm-hmm. including with skin, from Caucasians. There's so many variants. I mean, this little girl airs peach,
yes.
and this guy is more light pink, and
yes.
this person's a little on the orangey side. And then you have all the different shades of skin tone going from the palest white, like borderline albino, to
yes.
the darkest, like maybe
it's gorgeous.
This person who is Pantone 323. It's fantastic. It's a spectrum like you've never seen, and it's
humans.
Look at that baby.
Look at that baby.
And
oh
her hair.
God.
Like, it's really, really beautiful. I love it. It's
Look
such
at that.
A fascinating. I know.
And to see their eye colors, too. Like,
Yes.
It makes their eyes pop out. I don't know. It's just stunning.
Look at her eyes.
Beautiful.
It's crazy. But so cool what she did by backing the Pantone color behind the person in their actual skin tone.
It's so gorgeous.
And you can see that she is, again, she's photographed people from all over the world. And it is remarkable.
It really is. And they don't blend in with the back. It's like,
no.
Their skin is the exact same color of the background, but she's used a lighting effect to bring out the features of their face.
Yeah.
It's incredible.
So
it's really beautiful.
Another cool thing. And you know what? It's kind of fitting. Today is Martin Luther King Day.
Mm-hmm.
So this actually, to me, is a beautiful testament to people coming together, all shades, all colors.
Mm-hmm. It's gorgeous.
That's really what it's all about.
Yeah. Thank you for sharing that, Jessica.
Yes.
Okay. Well, I'm going to move us into our raves.
All righty.
And I'm going to go ahead and start off today. This came from a listener. We both got tagged in this, right? Mm-hmm. On Facebook, I think. So we really do.
These are from some college girlfriends.
Yeah. I just want to remind you guys, when you send us things or you tag us in things, we really do look at it.
Yes.
We really do want to use the stuff
Absolutely.
You send us. So this is a testament to that. This is for, I'm raving today about scenery bags. You can find them at scenerybags.com. From backdrop to bag and beyond. Scenery bags and accessories are made from retired theater backdrops, and a portion of proceeds from every sale is donated to TDF to take kids to see theater. So TDF is the organization they're affiliated with, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so our drops come to us from all over the United States. Some are retired because a show closes. Others are damaged and no longer usable for production. Others just are taking up space somewhere in storage. Instead of throwing these drops away, they are sent to us. Now the drops and the stories they helped tell get to live on. Our bag was handmade in the USA and is a one of a kind. Inside your bag, you will find a tag that tells you the show it's from and the number you have out of that collection, which
That's
I think
cool.
is so cool. Once a drop is cut and sold, it's gone forever, and you get to take home a piece of theater history. Thank you for helping us decrease waste, save art, and foster a new generation of theater goers, which I love because
mm-hmm.
I did not see a lot of theater when I was young. There was no one in my family that was really into that.
Right.
So it wasn't until I got involved in theater that I started seeing stuff like that. And it was life changing.
Yeah,
for me.
Of course.
It was really, really amazing. So some of the statistics they have, 15,544 pounds of theatrical materials have been collected. 490
wow.
students were sponsored to see a Broadway show and 26 shows that found a new life. So they support the incredible work of TDF. A portion of proceeds from each portion is donated to TDF's Introduction to Theater program. This program provides middle school and high school students with in-class workshops and the chance to attend a Broadway or off-Broadway performance. They also provide deeply discounted tickets to alumni of the program so they can continue engaging in the arts. I love that
That's
so much.
That's awesome. I love also, I think it's super cool in the bags. Are not like cheesy, like
no,
they're
really
beautiful.
Cool. Yeah,
some of them also are like most of them you can't tell what it's from, it's a piece of it, and it is its own little piece of art. But I love that it's recycling it, but providing kids a chance to
see
theater.
So, the woman who founded the organization, her name is Jennifer Wheeler Kahn. She's a mother, she was a professional stage manager for 17 years, getting to work on such shows as the Deaf West revival of Spring Awakening on Broadway, In the Heights National Tour, The Hunchback of Notre Dame at
awesome.
La Jolla Playhouse, Hold On to Me, Darling, off-Broadway at the Atlantic, Kinship starring Cynthia Nixon. I mean, she's a theater.
That's great.
Yes, yeah, she's a theater wonder. But she's holding up some of the bags. They're just super cool, you guys.
Mm-hmm.
And then also when you go to their website, again, that's scenerybags.com, you can also subscribe to their newsletter or whatever,
right.
and they'll tell you when new drops come in and what sales they have, and you can take 15% off your first order. So that's pretty cool.
Very
you take 15%
cool.
off, and then 10% of your purchase goes to help get tickets and stuff for these kids.
Mm-hmm.
It's just an amazing organization. Check it out if you get a chance.
Yeah.
Scenerybags.com, and thank you to our listener who sent that in to us.
Yes, and there are people that I majored in theater with in college, so it was even more special.
That is cool. I majored in theater too.
A little coming back around. I love it.
But it is a good way to repurpose this. It's not just going to waste then. It's a good recycle example.
Exactly.
And it's giving back. I just think it's wonderful.
And thank you, Amanda and Meredith.
Yay.
Yes.
And thank you to Jennifer Wheeler Kahn for starting this organization.
Exactly.
It's beautiful.
Well, my rave is a little more of a serious subject, very important one. I think we are all at this point very sadly familiar with sex trafficking and child prostitution. It's happening around the world. It's not just in certain places or things like that. I notice more and more, I notice it more outside of large cities. Mm-hmm. I've noticed it when I'm in smaller towns in California and Utah and various places that there will be notes in bathrooms saying, if you are a victim of sex trafficking or abuse or whatever, call this number, things like that. Mm-hmm. That is horrifying. There's lots of different organizations, but this one I hope people find their way to somehow, the children that need it. This is a group that's been around for a long time in Los Angeles called Children of the Night. And one of my dear friends used to volunteer there as somebody who would come in and teach. Like, people can come in to teach specific art classes or yoga or different things for the children who are at the home, because they do have a home here in Los Angeles. Mm-hmm. Children of the Night is a privately funded nonprofit organization established in 1979 with the specific purpose to provide intervention in the lives of children who are sexually exploited and vulnerable to or involved in prostitution and pornography. 2020 marks Children of the Night's 41st anniversary of rescuing America's children from prostitution right here in the United States.
Wow.
Since 1979, we have rescued over 10,000 American children from sex trafficking and prostitution.
Amazing.
More children than any other sex trafficking programs combined. And in most years, we spend 87% or more of our funds on the direct care and education of children and young people who have been victimized by prostitution.
Wow.
Children of the Night is the only place in America where a child can call from a seedy motel or truck stop anywhere in the U.S., reach a skilled caseworker 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, who knows how to rescue and relocate a child or young person from a dangerous condition without being arrested by the police. Our 24/7 nationwide toll-free case management services are comprehensive and able to help anyone trapped on the streets of our nation. This, again, and groups like this don't just need money from people to keep it going. They need people to come in and volunteer to work with them, to give these kids hope, to give them a sense of normalcy, if you will, right? I mean, some of these kids were literally born into it, or since they were a young kid pushed into this, they don't know any different. Sometimes they don't even know that it's bad or it's wrong, because it's been part of their life for so long. It's horrible. It's extremely sad. But this group is phenomenal with what they do. And they do have a home here that children live at. Like, when they're able to get them out, they are trying to get these kids educated and put through school and give them viable skills and make them so that they can be independent and eventually be on their own when the right time comes. So, you know, again, just keep your eyes out. It reminds us to keep our eyes out, like the postal worker that we spoke about a few months ago, who noticed a kid that didn't seem like it was an area a kid should be alone, and the child was way too young. So we just never know. I will tell you, just to piggyback on this, because I saw this morning and I was really blown away by it, by Upworthy, which is something I think we both follow.
Yes, I love Upworthy.
Somebody spotted this in a medical facility bathroom, and it was for when people are having like a urinalysis.
Mm-hmm.
And there was two different Sharpies in the bathroom. And for the black Sharpie, it says, please put only your initials on your specimen and the nurse will collect it.
Uh-huh.
The red one says, please write your initials with the red marker on the specimen cup if you are experiencing intimate partner violence, domestic violence, or anything else you wish to discuss in confidence with your provider.
That's amazing.
We will ask anyone accompanying you today to leave the room before discussing your concerns.
Wow.
So, again, I hate that we have to be there, but I'm so happy that more places need to do this.
Are being aware.
It's so common. People think it's like deep, dark secrets, whether it's with domestic abuse or sex, that it's happening in some weird corner of the world, like, and it's just an anomaly. Even if it just is, it's horrible, but it's not. It's everywhere.
It's everywhere.
So people who are in these situations, if they are lucky enough to even be brought somewhere for medical attention. If they're in an abusive situation or someone is ruling over them, I'm being serious, like a pimp or mm-hmm. whoever, mm-hmm. they're going to be with them at all times. So this sometimes would be the only way somebody could get, let someone know that they need help.
Mm-hmm.
So childrenofthenight.org is the organization. It's a really incredible group that has, again, since 1979 been
I mean, they've obviously made an impact. 10,000 yes. children.
It's major.
Yeah, that's yeah. really beautiful.
Yeah.
Thanks for bringing that, Jessica. Jessica.
Dana.
I think that's our show.
I think it is.
I guess I'll tell people how to contact us again.
I guess.
Will you tell them? Will you go to the back of the store and tell them? Just bring me a bag of cookies. Let me tell you how you can get a hold of us. You can find us on Instagram and Facebook at the Rants and Raves podcast. You can also find us on Twitter at Raves
underscore the.
At Raves underscore the. You can find us on our website, therantsandravespodcast.com. There's a contact us button. You can email us at therantsandravespodcast@gmail.com. And you guys, we do. We need some rants. We need some raves. We want to hear what y'all got to say.
Mm-hmm.
So each week before we go out, I like to have a weekly point to ponder.
Yes.
Whether it is a conversation starter, an interesting fact, something that I'm obsessed with on Instagram, Ocean X right now, guys, they're doing an exploratory thing in a submarine and they're filming all of it and you can watch it on Instagram. Okay, just popping that in there.
Yes.
It's this little submersible.
No, I want to see it.
It's pretty cool. I follow them.
You already have me following deep and scary.
Sorry, but it's pretty cool.
Oh, I know. I can't get enough.
So this week is just a little fact. So I think we all know that with Snow White and the Seven Dwarves, they believe that there were 16 dwarves
what?
To begin with. And they know this because they found drawings. They found, they're not before cells, like just sketches, right? Of these other. So some of the other dwarves, you guys may just want to bring this up at a party or
hilarious.
Something, are, and before this too, I want to say thank you so much, guys, for listening. We love seeing you. Download the show. I'm showing Jessica the pictures. Download the show every week. We'll be back again next Tuesday with a new episode.
Yep.
Same place. Around the same time. Depends on how early Dana starts editing. Other dwarves that were cast aside include Jumpy, Dizzy, Hickey. No, okay. I'm not sure what that even means.
Me neither.
I don't know if it's like hillbilly, like the hills have eyes, or if it's like, I'm going to suck your neck when we make out and leave a bruise.
Either way, it's so weird.
Gabby.
I wish they had
Gabby. I wish there was Gabby. I would love Gabby. Nifty. I don't know what Nifty does. Sniffy. I'll tell you right now, I don't want to meet Sniffy.
Well, Sneezy, I guess.
I don't want Sniffy sniffing at my hair.
Got precedence over Sniffy.
That's fine. A sneeze I can handle, but don't you be getting up in my business sniffing. No. Swift. He doesn't even have an E name. What? I don't like Swift. Puffy. I'm not sure what that means.
Oh, he's a Chubbs.
Is he? Then what's this next one? Stuffy.
Oh.
Are they just all nose related?
So weird.
And finally, but not least, the one I'm definitely glad they did not use that fell by the wayside, people. I'd like to introduce you to
Poopsie.
No. Burpee Dwarf.
Oh.
Get out of here. No, thank you. That's it, guys.
Have a good one.
Have a good one. Bye.
Bye.